On the show today, ideas about building better cities and how they could improve life for all of us. So up until now, we've been hearing about cities as these engines of innovation and creativity, as these places where human interactions lead to incredible things. But unfortunately, that is not the whole story.
I think that we're hypnotized about the promise of cities, and we're mesmerized by these extraordinarily livable cities in North America and parts of Western Europe.
This is Robert Mugga.
But the vast majority of the world's population doesn't live in those cities. In fact, most people live in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America. And that's where virtually all of future population growth, especially in cities, is going to take place.
Robert travels the developing world, and he looks at how cities in those places are growing and why so many of them are struggling with violence and crime. And he studies how those cities are trying to figure out how to tackle those problems. Here's Robert Mugga on the TED stage.
For the last 20 years, I've been working in countries and cities ripped apart by conflict, violence, terrorism, or some insidious combination of all. I've tracked gun smugglers from Russia to Somalia. I've worked with warlords in Afghanistan and the Congo. I've counted cadavers in Colombia, in Haiti, in Sri Lanka, and Papua New Guinea. Some diplomats and development experts and specialists, they talk about 40 to 50 fragile states that will shape security in the 21st century. I think it's fragile cities which will define the future of order and disorder. Aleppo, Bamako, Caracas, Erbil, Mosul, Tripoli, Salvador, violence is migrating to the metropole. That's because warfare and humanitarian action are going to be concentrated in our cities. And the fight for development, whether you define that as eradicating poverty, universal health care, beating back climate change, will be won or lost in the shantytown slums and favelas of our cities.
Can you describe a fragile city that you've been to and what it's like?
So I live in Rio de Janeiro, which in some ways, you know, straddles the idea of a global gateway city as well as a fragile city. And it's a wonderful city, you know, on the one hand. It's a city of samba, it's a city of tourism, it's a beautiful city. On the other hand, it's a city of extraordinary inequality, where, you know, high-rises abut some of the most depraved and poor neighborhoods one could possibly fathom, where you have high rates of violence, you know, I mean, levels of violence that are equivalent in some places to war zones. So I have a complex and contested relationship with the city that seems to be, on the one hand, to thrive, and the other hand, seems to always plumb the depths and seem to devour itself.
So how can a city survive that sort of struggle, even thrive in the face of crime and corruption? Robert Mugga returns with answers in a moment. On the show today, Building Better Cities. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, ideas about building better cities. And we were just hearing from Robert Mugga. He studies some of the most fragile cities in the world, these places where crime and violence can threaten the entire city's survival. But Robert is also looking at how those cities are tackling those problems.
You know, although I live and occupy a realm of a certain measure of pessimism, I am optimistic when I look at some of the inspired leadership of mayors around the world who've managed to turn things around.
How much do you sort of believe in this idea that solutions come from cities, that actually things that are kind of developed locally are often, you know, the best way of handling problems?
Yeah, and I think where you've seen some of the greatest innovation coming from fragile cities is in thinking differently about the structure of the city and how different parts of the city interact, by bringing low-income areas in contact with high-income areas, by rethinking transportation to make transportation much more predictable and accessible, by building not just haphazard public, you know, utilities or community centers or libraries, but really investing in top-notch and high-quality public infrastructure to get people who live in that city to feel like they are part of the city, to feel like they own the city.
We got to get away from this model of segregation, exclusion, and cities with walls. My favorite example of how to do this comes from Medellin. When I lived in Colombia in the late 1990s, Medellin was the murder capital of the world. But it changed course, and it did this by deliberately investing in its low-income and most violent areas and integrating them with a middle-class one through a network of cable cars, of public transport, and first-class infrastructure. And in the process, it dropped homicide by 79% in just under 2 decades. There's wonderful work that's happening that I've been involved with in Kingston, Jamaica, and right here in Rio, which is putting education, employment, recreation up front for these high-risk groups. And as a result, we're seeing violence going down in their communities. We can also focus on hotspots. Did you know that between 1 and 2% of street addresses in any fragile city can predict up to 99% of violent crime? Take the case of Sao Paulo, where I've been working. It's gone from being Brazil's most dangerous city to one of its safest. And it did this by doubling down on information collection, hotspot mapping, and police reform. And in the process, it dropped homicide by 70% in just over 10 years.
You describe the case of Sao Paulo, you mentioned Kingston, Jamaica, and Rio. Have you seen, you know, like these kinds of approaches spread to other fragile cities?
Yeah, and that, I guess that's why I'm kind of hopeful. I think this information technology revolution has meant that there's been almost a democratization of these kinds of tools used both by police but also by citizens, not just in the West, but spread out through the South and East. And so some of the most inspiring and I think exciting examples of the use of these tools are happening in cities that are ostensibly fragile, as you know, as in Medellin or Sao Paulo or Rio or even in Nairobi and other parts of Africa.
Yeah, because, I mean, cities are laboratories. I mean, they are, even fragile cities are laboratories. I mean, they're places where big-scale problems can be tackled or can be attempted to be tackled.
I think that's right. And so I think what we're seeing now is, and it's an exciting evolution, is that it's no longer just Mayor Bloomberg who's coming down to, you know, Rio de Janeiro or Bogota to explain to them the wonders of the New York model. It's actually Mayor Peñalosa from Bogota who's traveling around Africa, Asia, and Latin America explaining how they went about dealing with insecurity and violence and fragility in their cities. And in some ways providing a more compelling vision than those that have been expounded from the North.
Are there examples of things happening in some of these fragile cities that are kind of being observed by mayors in more prosperous cities and they're saying, hey, that's kind of cool, like we should try this out?
Pretty much every day we have a request here in Rio for people to come from as far away as Baltimore and Chicago, but also most recently from Bangkok. Basically groups of mayors and police chiefs and public transport officials who are seeking to extract ideas from the innovations that are taking place even right here in Rio de Janeiro. This is an example, really, of this idea of the North and South becoming blurred. The line separating, you know, the New Yorks from the Sao Paulos are beginning to disappear.
If I have one single message for you, it's this. There's nothing inevitable about lethal violence. And we can make our cities safer. We have the opportunity of a lifetime to drop homicidal violence in half within our lifetime. So I have just one question. What are we waiting for? Thank you.
Robert Mugga is research director for the Igarapé Institute, which is a security think tank in Rio de Janeiro. You can see his entire TED Talk at TED.com.